Okay. Yeah, we are going to look at Genesis 8:15-22, God's covenant with Noah, but more about finishing and starting again. Finishing and starting again. And the reflection on this is that God is busy doing this in our lives, always helping us to finish well and start again. And there are many ways to look at that. God is a God of new beginnings, as you can see by this little plant growing. We're praying for that. It's the tragedy of the typhoon to see whole palm trees flat, to see their tops off, so having whole mature trees, our two trees of the jungle, trees that the Chukis love to have their picnics under, that look beautiful, are just down, pulled by the roots and knocked right over. Don't know what we're going to do with them exactly. But the Lord says, I am the Lord your God, and he is the God who's about new beginnings. He is bringing us all to a new day, and he will establish a new earth, making all things new, and he will show us a new way when we follow him, a new way in which we have not traveled before, in which he takes care of us, and above all else, he brings us to a new life in Christ, a new life in Christ. So the Lord is about new beginnings. He loves them. He celebrates them. He builds them into our lives. They're part of what we do. So Noah and his family coming out of the ark is a starting over. I had one more quote. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That love of new beginnings is God all throughout. But here's Noah and the ark, and they're going to come out of it, and they're going to start over. And he brings us also out of what we were doing before to bring us into a new frame of reference. See, a new frame of reference with a kingdom perspective. I chose this slide because it was beautiful, the way it kind of put a kingdom perspective. It's a different optical sort of impression, showing us God is a God of new things. He's going to give us a kingdom perspective. So let us pray for one moment before we read our scripture. Dear Lord, thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which gives us power and strength to understand and absorb the Word of God, to make it nutritious for us so that it grows and builds our faith, a faith which is able to surmount the challenges, that is able to overcome the things that are put in our path. We pray this, Lord, that you'll give us that strength to overcome. Just as Noah and his family overcame, coming through the experience of the great flood, knowing the judgment of the Lord was on the earth, but also embracing your loving care as they came out of the ark. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 8:15-22. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number in it. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That last verse is marvelous. That's the new beginning God promises and establishes. And there's no better place to see the rainbow, which is that symbol of God's covenant promise. We see beautiful rainbows here There will always be seed time and harvest. There will be planting and harvesting. There will be cold and heat, summer, winter. Guam, we sort of eliminate that. We have 72 degrees. That's our winter. But it happens all over the world. And day and night will never cease. So we have this pattern which is built into our lives, and we have never seen a change, not in our lifetime. I am reminded of seed time and harvest of Esther. Her garden was pretty devastated by the typhoon. Loves her garden, but she's planting little trees around her lone palm trees, trying to save her her pod palm, which is leaning over. She thinks it might fall. Working on that, continuing to harvest good things, good flowers from a garden. So the question we have as we begin this message is, how are we doing with our finishing? Here you see a race finishing. That group of racers running their best race they can, and someone is going to finish go across the finish line first. How are we doing with our finishing? Now, what occurred to me as I thought about this racing kind of work, or kind of racing competition, if you're an Olympic gold medalist and you cross that finish line, you have crossed many finish lines to get there. You know that you only get to that by running and racing. And you have to run many races before you get to the race in which you compete at the highest level. You have to start running races when you're in kindergarten or maybe in grade school, you know, and then high school and then college. And then, you know, you're running in competitions all over the world. You're trying to get to the gold level standard that the world embraces, you know, and you start to compete against other athletes from other nations. To get to that finish line where you can get a gold, you do a lot of work and preparation to get there. How are you doing with your finishing? God is wanting us to always be working on those, the progress. So here we are, remembering Dennis and Annabelle finishing one part of schooling and then moving on. And that moving on is not about just having accomplished, oh, I've got the degree, you know, I had the cap on. But it's about where you're going to go from here. What are you going to use? How are you going to use this as a building block for where you're going to go on? What is going to be the next challenge for you to finish? Because that's for all of us, for every day, in our Christian walk, in our walk in life, to go on to the next one. Through one door, Dennis is planning on additional schooling. He's going to perhaps go to Talbot Theological Seminary. And through another door, Annabelle at the moment is working, but we'll consider her possibilities and where she might serve in another capacity as she goes down the line. Finishing, I looked at this picture and I said, well, it took a lot of work to finish this car, to get it ready for show. It's an old classic. You have to polish the chrome. You have to make the paint perfect. You have to make the engine look fantastic. You kind of have to know the mechanics of it. A lot of work goes into finishing a model, a show car like this. Or if you're doing a DIY job, you got to finish what you're doing. If you put in the floor, you maybe put a raw floor in, you got to put some varnish on to finish it. Finishing is part of what we do in our work every day. And for some of us, finishing could be going from one job into a new job. That just happened with the son of James and Serlina. He went on to a new job. Jazz, I believe his name is. Has gone on to United Airlines in Denver. And he had to swear in as a new recruit for the United Airlines. Or maybe not swear in, but you know, he had to go through the training. And you go on to start something new. Or you could be finishing one level and going on to a new level. This is eighth grade graduates, you know. I graduated from an eighth grade Christian school, so I had a ceremony. You go on and you're hoping to move on. Maybe you're moving on from grade 6 to grade 7 or whatever. You're just finishing a stage and moving on to a new one. God is really wanting us to go at these things with gusto, with strength, with encouragement. Typhoon Maywar is another one. It, in a sense, is a major game changer for us because you undergo a tremendous testing of typhoon, and pre-typhoon and post-typhoon become very major landmarks in our lives. They can have a huge impact upon us. Just reading the account of one person asking for where the mayor's office might be still providing free food. One job was knocked out by the typhoon, and her other job, she doesn't have the hours, so she has no way to feed herself. One example out of many is how a typhoon can be a major game changer. So it's very important, as you think about it, how you prepare for these things, and then how you come out of them as you respond to them and then recover. And it's important for all of us to be very aware of and sensitive to the needs we all have coming through it. I really was sensitive to that as took people on a mission trip. Hillary and I were kind of saying, well, we shouldn't go out of Guam because there's all these needs to rebuild and recover. But at the same time, it was like, well, we planned a mission trip, let's go on it, because all of us are traumatized. So in a way, going away is a way to get some healing and some sense of normalcy. And then we come back and hopefully get more and more normalcy back. Beginnings and endings are in the scriptures all the time. Adam and Eve, they were in the bliss of the Garden of Eden, enjoying God, living with each other. And then they fell into sin. They brought sin into the world and brokenness, the sin that we live with, the sin that stains us all. And they were banished out of the garden. That's the angel with a pointed sword telling them, now you have to go. And there's kind of the green lush and then into the wilderness. But they are clothed in skins that God made for them. And they're going to go forth hoping to find Eden again. I think that's what happens with people in their gardens. I don't know if, they have garden shows here, but they always did in Grand Rapids. People love their gardens because the winter was very long. Our winter was November. Everything turned brown, just like the typhoon. And it would go on, winter would go on until April. You couldn't plant flowers again until May. So in the summer, maybe in July or August, you'd have garden shows. And people would build their gardens. And they would plant the most fantastic flowers and have you look at them and see like you're in the Garden of Eden. We are seeking after that lush, beautiful life that God promises us when we are able to come free of this sinful and broken world. The sinful, broken world that God felt was so corrupted and so bad, he saw no light in it, no dark, no hope anymore. He said, I'm going to finish and I'm going to start again with Noah and his family. Now God has got his force and his light and his power through people like us who have faith and trust. People who are of good will and good heart to offset the evil and the corruption that is around in the world. And so we are always longing and trying. So we always like to put ourselves at a place where we can make a difference, where we can bring the ministry that the Lord has given us to do to make an impact. And we do things with the best of our ability. That's what it means to, achieve a degree, like at PIU or at UOG, is to go to those courses, to study it, the material, to take the tests, to prepare and get the degree so that you can go on and be an accomplished person in what you're going to do next. Beginnings and finishings and new beginnings. There is a tremendous example here in Micronesia of the brokenness of the world and the need for new beginnings. And that is, this is a picture of the Bikini Atoll nuclear bomb testing that went on. In this own area, the U.S. government decided after the war, because they had to be in this nuclear arms race with Russia, they had to do testing, and Bikini Atoll was chosen out of the world. Where are we going to do it? And people lived on that island in kind of idyllic way. you know, their life was good, but they were asked by the government to move so they could do these nuclear tests, and they ended up finally blowing up a bomb that was 1,000 times the power of Hiroshima on the Bikini Atoll with all of the nuclear radiation and all the fallout. And that's when they stopped. They realized, this is kind of insane. And it really was. You know, I mean, in a sense, you go back and you say, well, I understand they're trying to impress the Russians with the power of a bomb, but to do it to that level and to think you don't have an impact, they didn't understand nuclear fallout nearly as well as we do now. For some reason, they didn't want to acknowledge it. So there's a way in which we were driven by, you know, a world in which we're trying to compete and we're trying to survive and we're trying to offset evil and empower the good, but we can end up in a destructive path too. And then we have to realize that we have to begin in a new beginning. We have to find a new place to start. And it is much better to be involved with nuclear disarmament so far as you can than to continue to have more nuclear weapons, because one of them is enough to begin the end of the world. So we begin to just continue to learn from our world and say, listen, there are things we need to continually learn, and we need to humble ourselves before the God to find out where he wants us to begin. There is always this issue of where people are going to have a finish and where they can find a new beginning. And I was putting the submarine here, because here's a group of intrepid explorers going in a submarine down to the Titanic. They're risk takers, all of them, on this little submarine. And they ended their journey on the ocean floor right next to the best ship in all the world, Titanic. It was the best ship in all the world when it was built. And it was sailing that first maiden voyage before it had all the leading citizens of the day on it. They did not know that their ending was coming. They did not know that their ending was coming. And this folks in this little submersible probably didn't expect it, didn't want it to be, but it did happen. And so their ending can come. So all of us, recognizing our mortality, can be more sensitive to the Lord. Because the submarines are laying in quiet repose on the ocean floor alongside of all the people who went down with the Titanic next to that ship at 13,000 feet under the ocean surface. It's all about mortality, being a person who lives in a time frame. We have to acknowledge that God is in control. One of the comments that came out of the Titanic was, "Is this ship unsinkable?" said to one of the crew members. And the crew member said, "Only God can sink this ship." And it did. It sank. We do not control finishings and new beginnings. We just manage them. That is what I'm trying to say. We manage them. They're a part of our life. They're a part of how we live. And what we should always remember is that whenever we are in a beginning, have the end in mind. Have a strategy in mind. We are trying to work things out from beginning to end. That's what I was saying about running the race, crossing the finish line. In one sense, those runners don't do that by accident. They're going to try to get that perfect finish by shaping their lives and training themselves in a certain way. And we need to also. So the Lord himself created the world. The fall occurred. The sin corrupted everything. And then he ended. But he had a new beginning. And he always begins with an end in mind. And that new beginning was to ultimately be the Lord's doing of sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He had that end in mind. And he not only had that end in mind, he had the resurrection in mind. And he had Jesus ruling and reigning in heaven, giving birth to his church of people of faith who can bring about a kingdom perspective and have that as they go about all of their beginnings and their finishings. We are relying on God to design a pattern to our lives that will help us overcome our limitations and shortcomings. To help and to give it to God, you know. Whatever their lives were on the Titanic or on the submarine, submersible down, you know, if you have the end in mind that we are mortal, that we are not going to live forever, we're saying to God, let me dedicate my life to you. Let me give it to you. Let me allow you to direct me as I go on from this point to the next point. Let us allow God to be in charge. He was working with Noah to remind him that he was the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So when God is going to go about, in the book of the Bible, Scripture is about revelation, about God saying he's going to sow his seed, that the Son of Man will be born of Eve and will slay the serpent, even though the serpent will bite his heel. He's going to strike its head, and it's going to have a fatal wound. So the Lord's redemption is truly about overcoming Satan fully in all of his power. And God knew that. God knew that as he began the world, and he knows this as he's going to end the world. He is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. So God wants to always bring about wonderful, beautiful new beginnings. Even now, we must remember that as we are in a time when there is a lot of energy being put into, is this the end? Are we in the end times? You know, people are saying, "Is you know, you're the God of the end. Is this the end? Are we the terminal generation?" It's an expression used. You know, is my generation the one that's going to die? And before I die, the Lord's going to return. Perhaps. I say the Lord's in control of that. But I would not say, well, predict it, because I think Christians need to not be focused on all of the darkness of the world, but on the light that God is bringing into the world. And it's not to diminish it, not to underestimate the power of sin in our hearts or in our world, not to underestimate the fact that many people are pursuing their own agenda, are pursuing and serving their own ego, but we are really focused on what God is doing in terms of redeeming people and calling them into his family of grace, so that we look for hope. We look for new beginnings. We look to try to finish things well. And that's why we were praising God for the 20th anniversary of the building of this church, that this faith family was able to achieve that and do that, but also to continue on its ministry here in Guam. One of the things that did come through after the typhoon, when pastors got together this past Wednesday, I wasn't able to go because I was a little bit under the weather, but as the pastors got together, there was a lot of weariness, a lot of weariness. They were tired of trying to help their congregations recover from the typhoon. They were tired of trying to restore their churches. They're trying to find new furniture because their furniture is destroyed by mold. They're trying to recover from flooding or try to repair air conditioners or all these many different manifold problems. They were tired. But out of this, we pray continually that God will give encouragement and strength to help a new beginning emerge. And we're going to need God's strength to do that. It's not easy. The Lord brings forth life from the smallest seed. From the stump comes a small branch. Out of the grass comes the smallest kitten. My little story about surviving after the storm is, Hillary and I were on our walk near Ladera Tower, and we heard a little kitten cry, and we turned, and out of the grass came this little kitten that had somehow, in the jungle, survived the storm. And, you know, it's like, oh, that's a graceful gift of God that this little kitten survived the storm, however, wherever her mother went, her family, she was there. And it's about new beginnings. It's a sign of hope. And so we continually trust God for that. God is always in the work of redeeming and making space for new beginnings. That's God's great design. He's a specialist at helping us do good finishing, to accomplish the degrees, to accomplish the tasks, to accomplish the mission, or to reach a point of, you know, parenting. We are parenting so that, you know, our child can grow and be mature and leave the nest. That we've built a nest and we've nurtured them, but we want them to then achieve and go on in their lives. God is a specialist in doing that. He's a specialist in helping us complete the race that we're on, wherever that finish is that he wants us to bring us to. God is a God of great design. So let us trust him for the future. Let us trust him for helping us in the present. Let us trust him as we run our race. And let us not lose courage or hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Lord, thank you that we have gathered and we can reflect, and that you can promise to us your goodness and grace always on our journey of faith. May we continually ascribe greatness to our God, as the front of our bulletin says, because you are great and you have a great design in mind. We just want to be on your page, O Lord, in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.